Welcome back to the Money Pig Podcast, brought to you by Goodwin Investment Advisory, where our mission is pig, to lead people to financial peace, independence, and generosity. And today on the show, we are joined by GIA founder Tim Goodwin and GIA's marketing manager, Tara Bruce, for a discussion about the dream of retiring in an RV. And I'm your host, Reed Trigo. Welcome back, Tim.
I'm excited to be here. I'm excited Tara's here for her debut and episode.
Welcome to your debut appearance. I'm very happy to be here. That's right. It's great to have you, Tara. You've been with GIA how long?
Gosh, I think 5 years, but only 3.5 years full time.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Took us a while to rope her into full time, you know? So eventually. Yeah.
So clients and people who've inquired with us see Tara's blogs and social, I don't know. You don't do social media.
Not anymore.
Lots of blogs, the insiders, all our communication, our guides.
Oh, man, she's amazing. Yeah. So insiders get like
430 pages on our website now.
Yeah. We just, added that up the other day. We're like, we've got a lot of knowledge there. And Tara's been the biggest contributor to that by far. Awesome. So, but yeah, great quality blogs. Our clients rave about the insiders. Even the staff here love the insiders. They're so good. So she's been doing a little flourish piece at the end of them. Just kind of some meaningful, thoughtful stuff. So it's been awesome. Yeah, she's rocking it. She's crushing it.
Good. I'm glad for the Money Pig audience to get to hear Tara and just hear some thoughts that we all have about this. And, you know, I just want to start off. This is about like the dream of retiring in an RV, right? Uh-huh. And I just have to tell you, forever, this has been my thing. I wanted the big bus with the eagle on the back. Oh, yeah. I was going all in.
Are you talking about like the spray painted eagle kind of thing on the back?
If it's spray painted, it might be.
It says America.
Yeah, America. Yeah, something like that. But I always just thought that looked like the picture of freedom. And you just put like a Jeep or whatever that you're towing behind it and a trailer with a motorcycle in it.
Right.
I just thought this is what I always wanted.
Yeah, sometimes that dream turns into a nightmare.
And so we were relatively smart. I mean, we went to California with the kids, went to LA, rented an RV, took it up, planned it really, really well, and took it up to San Francisco and had a really great time. And then I thought, this is okay. This is good. And then we rented another RV for a trip just to run from Georgia up to Indiana for a long weekend. That one left us a little less desirable result.
Yeah. So what happened? Like what went so good about the first trip?
I think it was planned well. Okay. My wife planned it.
Okay.
This one I was like, this can't be that hard.
Yeah. We'll just wing it.
Yeah. I mean, then the Indiana trip, we ended up sleeping in a Walmart parking lot because we hadn't planned ahead far enough.
Yeah.
And then you're like, Do I actually run this battery generator all night? That's going to cost me more. So I'm sleeping and it's hot. It's just terrible. You don't even know if you're safe. And then
that's a concern.
Yeah. But so you guys have both been campers, RVers. And so we wanted to have this conversation because I think a lot of people, well, maybe not, maybe it's just me, but think about this idea of retiring on a cruise ship, retiring in an RV, whatever. So Tara, you know, of some GIA clients specifically, and we wouldn't necessarily talk about GIA clients all the time in a way that they could identify themselves here, but you know GIA clients here who actually did this. And what was the story here?
Yeah. So my parents, they sold their dream house. Okay. They're actually clients now, but they weren't clients when they did this. So they sold their dream house that they built, custom house up in Big Canoe, North Georgia Mountains, to purchase my dad's 100th vehicle.
Wow.
My dad loved.
He loves cars.
Loves cars. Can you tell?
So, I like it. Six.
You know, yeah, right. Yeah.
Downsizing from this $1 million mansion to a RV was
a little bit smaller square feet.
Getting rid of all of their stuff, you know, some in storage. And then they started trying out the RV retirement dream life.
What inspired them? Was it like Reed? Like they just saw the Class A's drive by and were like, this looks awesome. Let's try it. Or like.
Like our whole lives, they were always into experiencing adventure, seeing everything. So they just wanted to travel around the United States. Well, they ended up going down to visit my sister. She was living in Daphne, Alabama. And they went to some places in Gulf Shores and they ended up liking it so much. Within about a month, they decided they were going to buy a house down there. So the RV life lasted, maybe it lasted a little longer than that. Yeah. I should give them some more credit. Maybe it was 3 to 4 months.
Yeah.
Bought a house and eventually moved into a house in Gulf Shores and sold the RV.
RV's like, gone.
Yeah, obviously they had planned to like RV longer than that, right?
Oh, so of course.
Did they have?
I think they had a like, plan, but
okay, because they're like, we're going to travel the country, see all these national parks or something, right? Yes. But then
they were going to do a take two because I think we saw most of them growing up. But
okay,
they fell in love with Gulf Shores. They met some friends, and now friends of theirs moved down there. They're loving their life. They're living their best life. But yeah, the RV retirement thing didn't work
out.
Did
they tell you like what they didn't really like about it?
Imagine like my dad working and not being home all the time, and then my mom running the house, and then now all of a sudden
you're living
in a small confined space and together all the time. It's just, that's a lot.
That's true.
This is what Christine, my wife and I talk about is, I went through a few years where I didn't like work full-time job. Right. And I would just be around the house and she'd look at me and she'd be like, it's nice to have you here, but I don't need you right here. Like in my space. And she did this thing with her hand.
So she like started right like social distancing before very COVID much. Showed up. She's like,
so
you
good.
Need to give me a little space.
Yeah. Oh, and I think like we have a pretty good sized house. We need all those square feet. I'm very sure of it. Yeah. And that is part of it too. Like I look at an RV and I'm like, could I really live in a 42 by 10
gotta,
box?
You got to get like 400 out, you know, feet. Go do stuff. Yeah. It's tight.
So, okay. So that's awesome. So maybe the idea is, I don't know if they didn't plan ahead or if it was just a trial, maybe go rent one first.
Yeah. I think going all in and selling the house. And I mean, that's going all in, man. Yeah.
It is. So
go big or go home, right?
Yeah. They definitely did it. Yeah.
I suppose that's right. Okay. So Tim, you've spent some time in an RV.
Yeah. I was just trying to add it up, but probably over the past 3 or 4 years, we're pretty close to about 150 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we actually just got done with a 28 day road trip, 5,500 miles. So we've got a motorhome pulling the Jeep. So,
well, that's great. You got the whole thing. What could go wrong?
So many things. So many things. Yeah. Actually the very first night of this trip. So there's this actually, so here's a pro tip. There's this app called Harvest Hosts.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah. Do you know about them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you used them before?
No.
So this is no ad or anything. We're not getting any revenue from Harvest Host, but I think it's something like $75 a year and you've got access to all these different places you can stay at. So instead of Reed staying in the Walmart parking lot, you can stay at a brewery, a vineyard. We've stayed at a llama farm. We stayed at a cherry farm. We stayed at a lavender farm. But anyway, let me get back to this first night of, go ahead.
I told my friends in Illinois, they should register their farms on Harvest Host.
Yeah, absolutely. So
my parents might've continued doing it if they knew they could be at a brewery.
I know, right? This could change everything.
Winery.
Your dad's going to go back and get his 101st car again. I don't know. But if you're part of Harvest Host, then you stay at these places for free. You know, they generally have big parking lots or just beautiful places like, you know, staying at a winery, the big vineyard. So, but they just ask you to be a good patron, you know, like twist your arm instead of spending money at the campsite, you're spending that money, you know, being a good patron at the Harvest Host that you're at. So mm-hmm. We stayed at a dairy farm as well. So we're like buying their cheese and their milk and all that stuff. It was super cool. Sorry, going back, the first night it was a brewery. So we would try to get there right before it closed. Like Maureen and I run in there. I'm a West, name's Maureen. We run in there to get, you know, get some beer. There's some live music. We're having a good time. The girls are in the RV showering and getting ready. And my phone blows up. And we've got like 15 minutes. Like we've been gone for 7.5 minutes or something. My phone blows up. My daughter Shiloh is like, the water's turned off. And I'm like, well, have you done, you know, this. And she'd done everything. My youngest daughter, Eden, was still in the middle of taking her shower, still had like conditioner in her hair. I'm like, oh my gosh, the water pump has gone out. The very first night of our 28-day trip. And they had to like get water bottles to like rinse out conditioner out of her hair. I'm like, we're off to a great start. But in true Boy Scout fashion, I did have a backup water pump. And so,
yeah, of course you did.
Yeah. So, So Maureen held this little flashlight and we were somehow lucky enough to get that thing changed. And I did ship myself another replacement water pump, like a week ahead of where we're going to be. Cause I did not want to travel without a backup water pump, but yeah. Yeah, so those things happen.
Wow. Okay, yeah. That's amazing.
Do you remember like any breakdowns or on these trips that you had?
On ours?
Yeah.
No, well, the only problem was driving home from Indiana.
Yeah.
I was the driver. And I think only one of our kids went with us, if I remember. Sorry if I forgot one of them. But my wife is there, but she's like, I'm not driving this. It's not even a gigantic one, but she's like, this is bigger than I'm comfortable driving. I said, no problem. I drive all the time. I'm fine. And I got tired.
Yeah.
So we literally did have to stop in like Chattanooga, you know, an hour and a half
from
home. And I was like, so close. I can't stay
awake.
It's so annoying.
You've got, it's good to play it safe. Those things are big and dangerous. So is that where you were at the Walmart?
No, that was on the way up.
Yeah. So here's another pro tip for being an RV. Like when you plan your trip on Google Maps or your normal map app, it thinks you're driving a car. It thinks you're going faster. Then you're going to be able to drive that motor home or tow that bumper pole or trailer behind it. So when it's like, oh, you're going to be there in 8 hours and the RV, like it could be 10,
Right.
So, and then, you can get pretty tired. You're nervous. You know, you got your whole family in the car, all this stuff, you know, all the vehicles, you're slow. You can't speed up. You can't stop as fast. So yeah. Tara, what are some of your other experiences? Cause I know you guys have camped a lot with your family.
Yeah.
Right?
We've camped a lot in tents, but then the last couple of years we've been using an RV. It's actually my mother and father-in-law's RV, but we use it and they don't. So
it's kind of yours, basically.
Kind of ours, right? Yeah. Kind of hijacked it a little bit.
It's kind of the way you should do it.
That's actually a really good deal. I've got to figure that one out. Deal. So I don't own it, but I'm the only one that uses it.
Yeah. But we really love using it and I do not drive it. So I'm with Christy. I do not want to drive it. So Josh does all the driving. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. But yeah, like a couple of like funny things is like Josh, he's so tall. My husband, he has to stand, he has to open the vent in our shower. Like it has to open it up and like wind it all out just so he can
fit. And his head is like popping through.
His head is in the vent section just to shower. But that's funny. And then when we went camping in Asheville recently, we got everything set up and, you know, he does all the things. Like he's so great at it.
Yeah, makes it all.
Balances
level,
it.
Yeah.
And we get it all set up and realize that from where we parked and set up, the poop pipe was not long enough because of where we set our camper up. So our friends are on their way.
And you're not going to move it now.
Oh,
like
gosh,
you've already got everything set up. Like we're not moving it.
And you know, all the, whatever they're called.
Expandable hoses.
No.
The power of the water.
I don't know. My brain's not thinking the pullouts are.
Oh, slide out. Slide outs. Yeah.
I wanted to call them pullouts, but they're slide outs.
So close.
Yeah. Like all that's set up now and everything. So no, we're not moving it, but we had to have what our friends coming to see us. We asked them because they were driving by the store, we asked them to pick up poop pipe along the way.
So yeah,
they,
new
they
black water hose.
You need an extension. Yeah. You need an extension.
Added that extension and it worked fine.
So that happened to us too. So we always travel with that extra one just in case sometimes it's not as level to be as close to where you need to be hooking up to move forward a little bit, and leveling is the most tricky part. So I'll tell you a funny story. The first time we got the motorhome, we had a pop-up camper before that. And I did a lot of tent camping growing up in Boy Scouts. But like the shock and awe thing to say is that my daughter woke up and she thought rats were in her bed.
Oh goodness.
But this was two summers ago and she has pet sugar bears, sugar gliders. And we had them in their cage at night and they got out and they were climbing all through them in their beds. Kind of like can you imagine this little like flying squirrel crawling on your body in the middle of the night? So anyway, we figured out how they were getting out and then they would, you know, spend the night in the Jeep. So we didn't have to risk that. So they're also nocturnal. So when we're sleeping, they're not. So they're a little loud. So that was definitely one of our funny animal stories.
And these are pets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, Tara and her daughter, Bella took care of the sugar gliders on this last trip because they didn't get
they
to
didn't
come.
Go with you.
They didn't get to come. We want to deal with them escaping.
Not with the four cats and the dogs and all the other
right, so we decided to take other animals this time and also regretted that. So we're just going to get used to just taking the little dog. That would be, he's good. He's
Pip.
Good.
Pip.
Keeps it pretty simple, but bringing cats and sugar gliders, that's just asking for it.
So what do you think about, like, I think a lot of people have this dream of retiring on a cruise or retiring with an RV. I mean, what are the things you think through or we need to think through?
Yeah.
When we're making that kind of decision.
Question. Well, I just recently wrote a blog. It's called Roaming and Rolling, The Hilarious Adventures of Retiring in an RV. And so it kind of walks through some of those things you might think of, like downsizing. That's something you might want to consider.
Being really close to your spouse or whatever.
Being really close to your spouse.
Are, in proximity, like physically close all the time.
Yeah, like expenses you have to think about. how you're going to manage things when you're on the road. Are you going to still have doctor's appointments, medicine delivered, those kind of planning things you maybe not think of? And I mean, it can be cheaper to live in an RV for a year, which is really great, or to retire long term, but I don't know if you want to do it long term, but some people do. Some people travel and they live in an RV, and we've met a lot of those people, especially at different campgrounds, and they're really interesting people.
They call themselves full-timers.
Full-timers.
Is that right?
Yeah. Full-timers. They're full-timers. And they usually have the big class A's or the big wheels. They got a lot of storage underneath it. The way that these retirees organize what's in their containers is amazing. You know, how all this stuff comes out and is labeled in boxes and stuff. I've seen. Yeah, they've got it down to a science. A lot of them, I think too, like if their kids or the grandkids are kind of spread out, then a lot of times they're just kind of bouncing around the country in between their kids and their grandkids. So that can be really a meaningful way to do it as that, well.
That's how you create, you know, that Wes Moss book, What the Happiest Retirees Now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that the happiest retirees live within 50 miles of at least half of their kids. Mm. And so that's what these people are doing.
Yes. Right? Yeah. Their good. Kids aren't that close. And so they're kind of taking turns, and they might have like a smaller home that they still kept, or a studio apartment. Cause like Tara said, you got to figure out like mail and all that kind of stuff.
All the logistics and planning. And we also have to figure out like where you're going to stay. Like there's all different kinds of places you can stay in from. I mean, I think I wrote like there's like these really fancy oasis, like rare gems, you know, that you can find. But there's some interesting places that you could end up staying.
Have you stayed? Are you speaking from experience, Tara? Tell us about one of these interesting places you stayed.
You can stay at the dirt cheap and unclean places. Mm-hmm. You know, you can stay at budget-friendly basic places. The mid-range marvels is what I call them. And then the upscale oasis. So our RV cannot even go into most of the upscale ones because it's technically a travel trailer.
Okay.
And so we mostly are at, you know,
like, so some of them you can only go in if you have a motorhome.
Yeah. So like local campgrounds, and we're probably more of like budget friendly, basic, or the mid range, you know?
Yeah. And size too, like some campgrounds, it's your RV's too big, so they don't have spots that big. So that's something to consider as well. And then the age of the RV too. I know some places we've stayed, like, I don't know what the example is, but if it's too old, they also don't want it there. Maybe it's because like the slide outs are loud, or I don't know what it is.
So the 78 Bounder or whatever from Breaking Bad.
It may not make the cut. It might limit. Yeah. Where you're staying. And I know for cost too, I mean, sometimes it's the campground's really nice, so it's expensive, or sometimes it's like the only one around. Like we went to a KOA, that's in like West Yellowstone, and it was over $100 a night. And it wasn't that the campground was all that nice. Like our path, it wasn't even like, it was gravel that wasn't even level for our spot. Like the Wi-Fi didn't work either, but it's like, they're the only ones out there, right? It's perfect supply and demand. But there's places like Margaritaville has a couple of these RV grounds, and everyone's a concrete pad, and you know, the bathrooms are air conditioned with TVs in them. So it can get real fancy real fast.
And down at Disney, I bet those aren't cheap.
Yeah, the Disney one's nice. So we stayed there too. That Disney campground is something else. It's really, really special. But yeah, I don't know what it is. It was at least $100 a night when we stayed there before. But we found that like KOA is a pretty big brand throughout, not even just the country, in Canada. We stayed in a bunch of KOAs as well. And that's, you know, it's also kind of this more familiar brand as you're traveling and don't know other things. You're like, oh, at least we get to go to the KOA. I don't know. They usually have some fun things for the kids too. So I will tell you that we stayed at another one of these Harvest Hosts. I think this was last year, and it was a wedding venue, you know, and it was just beautiful. But anyway, so it was super hot day, right? Like we're in Georgia today. I think we got a heat index of 105 right now outside. Like it was one of those scorching hot days. And so the awning goes out like on the passenger side, right? But on the driver's side is usually where all the power and the sewer and the water's hooked up. So once I got everything all put in, the family, they're all getting in the RV really quick because it's, you know, it's hot outside, air conditioning's running. So I'm like doing the last kind of disconnect things on the driver's side, get everything disconnected, put in, and I jump into the seat and I, you know, into the driver's seat and start driving away. And little did I know, I had not retracted the awning.
Uh-oh.
I didn't know that until I drove by a tree that was pretty close to the road, and it ripped off the awning, like straight up. If you've seen the movie RV with Robin Williams in it, like we went Robin Williams style. Like he's in the movie, they're getting up early. There are these folks on the campground that he doesn't want to hang out with. And so they're just trying to leave really, really fast and just rips the awning off. I think they hit like a light post or a fence post. So yeah, we've done that before where you've just got to, like literally we had ropes tied like on the outside, like holding it to the side of the RV.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was like in the middle of COVID. So it took, oh gosh, like 6 months to get those things replaced.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh geez.
So there's, yeah, you can have some.
I guess it happens
times.
To the best of you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So just always maybe do a 360 walk around before you, you know, take off.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, that is those are lessons to learn as we go forward, right?
Doesn't always go as planned.
No, it doesn't. All right, what else you got, Tara?
Well, I was just going to share a couple, like all joking aside, there's some actual serious and helpful tips to consider when you want to decide to retire in an RV. And the first one is, like, I think I mentioned a little bit earlier about how you're going to handle doctors, healthcare professionals. Mm-hmm. Are you going to still have visits? Are you going to plan to have the prescription shipped to you along the way? I'm just making a plan for medical.
Can you get somebody to forward your junk mail?
Yeah, right.
From the postal service.
Extra they do charge that? For that. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the second one is like hiring a financial advisor. I mean, that's what we do. That's what we specialize in. But I wonder if that would have helped my parents if they had already had hired us before they made this plan. Maybe they would have had a different plan, or maybe it would have lasted longer, or I'm not sure. But hiring a financial advisor can help you navigate your financial decisions as well as managing your investments along the way too. Then you know that your money is being taken care of while you're traveling. And another thing is, will you sell your home? Are you going to rent it out on our VRBO or Airbnb, or are you going to keep your home? And then are you going to manage the property yourself or hire someone to take care of it for you? The next one, four, is do you have a will and estate plan? Some of those things we also help with here, but we have partners that we recommend to do that in this area. But just making sure you have some of those things in order. And then do you have a plan and reservations for your initial months of traveling? I mean, you could just go out wild, but I think it's wise, even though I'm like, free spirit. Yeah, let's just do this. But having a plan for initial months where you're going to stay, you know, starting kind of getting that, your route logged in and all the places that you're planning to stay in. And then six, don't forget to plan where you'll stay based on weather as well. Like, where are you going in America and when? Kind of planning around a little bit of the weather patterns. And then,
hey, I got one on that, by the way.
Yeah.
When we were in California, we rented this, the RV from LA up to San Francisco. So we thought, I think we were going to try to go into Yosemite or something.
Yeah.
But there was like a snow freeze warning up at altitude. So they're like, you can't take that RV any higher than whatever. So we ended up having to rent a car to drive up.
Another vehicle. You had to rent another vehicle.
Yes, yeah, 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 yeah.
Where'd you leave your RV?
I don't know, somewhere. I think it was by an Arby's.
Oh, nice. That is just in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
I know.
Well, the last one is just a packing list of must-haves for RV living, and it's from outdoorsy.com, and I have it in the blog, and there's a link, and you can kind of just look at how these experts have figured out these are the things that you might need
to pack. Yeah, good. Check out that blog. It's awesome. And you know, this is just... It's not that financial advisors are so brilliant and know everything about everything, but it is true that Tim, as you and Ray and Justin, and I guess me too, we sit and talk to people. We do hear similar stories over and over. So a person like in Tara's parents' situation, they're made that decision one time. We see financial situations. Should I cash out a pension? We see that dozens and dozens of times a year.
Right.
And should I retire? Should I buy this house? We it's almost like we're able just from experience to go, have you thought about this other thing and this other thing? And we can just bring up other stuff. Right?
Just to talk it through with somebody else, the plan, and make sure it all just kind of sounds right and looks right and you're financially planned for it. So it's always helpful to have a plan. So I did want to say too, because I know I'm kind of like dogging RVing, even though we do it a ton. Like it's like, it really is fun. I mean, it's controlled chaos, but the country, it's just so beautiful. True. And to be able to see all these beautiful places. I mean, these natural parks out there, it actually gives you this feeling of being proud of your government for doing something right, protecting these beautiful, sacred, magical places all over the world that you can't even describe that well. You can try to snap a picture, but to be there, It's really, really breathtaking. And even though, like, yeah, getting crammed in a tiny space with your family that you've gotten to spread out with, or just your spouse, and you get in this tiny area, you know, you figure it out and you learn to live with it. And then you can have some really, really special moments together. And so I always have a good time kind of reminiscing about my trips and sort of journaling about all the special times, as well as the times that were difficult, which we try to laugh about later, but yeah, we've really enjoyed it. We would not like take it back at That's all. Awesome. Like I'm sure Tara with you, with your trips too. Just,
I love nature. So it's
yeah,
like
memory makers, just mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah. I'm glad I had my experiences, cause it cured me.
You're like, well, maybe. Yeah.
But you know, national parks though, I think isn't their slogan like America's best idea?
Yeah.
It really is.
It's really awesome. Amazing. It's
They're
great.
All done well.
I wish Georgia had a national park. We got some good state parks. But we don't have a national park.
We do not. That's right. All right. Thank you both for being here. As financial advisors, we manage and rebalance portfolios, but the unique value that we bring is that we work with our clients to understand their personal and unique situations so that we can have these kind of planning conversations. You can't help people through stuff if you haven't actually talked to them and sought to understand what's happening. So appreciate Tim and Tara being here. Remember, if you're enjoying the show, rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a question you want us to answer on the show, email it to us at moneypig@goodwininvestment.com. And we will see you next time.
The Money Pig podcast is hosted by Reed Trigo, a financial advisor at Goodwin Investment Advisory. This podcast is intended to share information and perspectives, but should not be interpreted as legal, financial, or tax advice. The opinions shared by participants are not necessarily endorsed by the company. Goodwin Investment Advisory is regulated by the SEC, and the company operates in compliance with applicable securities, laws, and regulations.